Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to break your brain. I'm going to hurt your brain a lot because I'm going to get into the math today. And I haven't done this for a while. And a lot of you are going, no, not the math. But you got to understand the math because the math is what makes all of this work. What am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about investments. I'm talking about retirement. I'm talking about everything you are either doing or not doing for your future. It all boils down to math. You didn't know that, did you? You thought it was all just about currency. No, it's not just about currency. It's about math, and it's about what that currency can do for you over time. Now, what got me off on this tangent today was an email I received from a listener that indicated to me that she was getting ready to start a brand new career. She is a qualified educator. She's got the degree. She's got the credentials. She even has the hiring letter. And she's going to go to work for a school district in the great state of Louisiana. And one of the things that they have offered her as a condition of employment is something that they called a defined benefit retirement plan. That's gobbledygook speak for a pension. Now, pensions are not completely dead. They still exist out there. As a matter of fact, a lot of governmental entities still offer them. And clearly, the teachers that are down in Louisiana that have this pension fund, they're offering her a pension. So the question was this: what do you think I should do, Al? Should I set aside money every month from my salary and contribute to this pension, or should I buy real estate? Well, the no-brainer answer is buy the real estate. Yeah, it's buy the real estate. But most of you don't understand the why. Why you should go and buy the real estate. And that's what I'm going to break down for you today. I'm going to do my best to not hurt your brain as bad as I could with the math. Because let's be honest, math really doesn't have to be difficult. You don't have to do calculus. You don't have to do advanced string theory. You don't have to do stuff like that when you're doing real estate investing. What you all you really need to do is understand what your money's doing for you. And it's the same way if you're going to do that pension thing. You need to understand what your money's doing for you. These pension plans, they give you these thick booklets of information that everybody looks at and goes, I don't want to read this. I've got a financial planner. I'm going to be just fine. But you're not going to be just fine. You're actually going to be in a world of hurt if you don't listen to me today. Because what I'm going to outline for you is the future of this young lady if she chose to do the pension thing, what that would equate to in the future compared to buying some real estate. Yeah, buying some investment houses. I'm not talking about going and buying a house that she's going to live in herself and consume. That's not investing. I know that you don't agree with me. Some of you don't agree with me. You think that your personal residence is an investment. And I'm going to argue with you and I'm going to say, no, it's not, because a qualified investment really needs to pay you an income stream. Yeah. Yeah. So all these things that you are putting money into that people are telling you are investments, if they're not paying you an income stream, in other words, that income stream is not coming into your pocket, I don't think it's investing. There has to be a cash component to the investments that you make. And maybe some of those things you've got in your IRAs, your 401ks, your pension, whatever you got out there, maybe they do make money, but it doesn't go in your pocket. It goes back into that fund. And you think, well, wait a minute, hold on, time out. That's technically my money. Yeah, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. It's not your money, but you can't touch it. So is it really your money? And if you touch it, what's the government going to do? The government's going to charge you a penalty for being a bad, bad person, for touching money that belongs to you because you don't know what you're doing. Trust me, that's the government's attitude towards investing. As a matter of fact, they, in my opinion, this is just Al's opinion, I think we throw so much regulation at all of these financial services things that we make it so difficult for the average person like you and me to understand what's really going on. We just throw up our hands and say, you know what? I got too much going on in my life. I don't have time to mess with that. And when you have that attitude, you have lost. You have completely lost. Because what you're going to do is you're going to do something that's not going to get you to where you think you're going to get to. And you're going to get to a point in your life and you're going to have this rude awakening, which is a result of the fact that you weren't doing what you should have been doing to prepare for retirement. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm telling you all this stuff. Now, if you're a Lifestyles Unlimited member, you know everything that I'm telling you is spot on. You know it because this is what we talk about in our organization. This is what we do when we're investing. We are focused on our assets. We are focused on what our assets are doing for us. We don't just take our money and hand it off to somebody else who's got a bunch of series whatever licenses and say, do great things for me. No, we take an active role in our investments. And I think you should too. I absolutely think you should. Yesterday, I was talking about all these false beliefs that exist regarding real estate investing. Remember, I was telling you that there are all these things that you believe are true with regards to risk or money or time that really aren't true when it comes to real estate investing. As a matter of fact, you could put together a portfolio of 10 single family houses. Pretty easy. You could actually do it over time. And I will guarantee you this, that 10 single family houses will do better for you than what this pension plan is going to do for this young lady. And we come back from the break. I'm going to hit you with the math. Stick around.
The rich get richer and the poor get poorer, not because that's the way it's set up, but because of the knowledge.
When put into action, knowledge is power at Lifestyles Unlimited. We empower you to live the lifestyle of your dreams through passive real estate income. For over 30 years, our successful members share their knowledge through case studies, classes, and mentoring. Tap into the knowledge. Attend a free workshop online. Register now at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, so the Teachers Retirement System of Louisiana is offering a pension plan to a young lady who just also happens to be a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. And she shot me an email and she said, what do you think I ought to do? Should I take advantage of this plan? Or should I focus my efforts on real estate? She gave me some additional information. And like most people coming out of college, she's got a little bit of student loan debt. Okay, she got a little bit of it, not a lot. Her parents did a really good job of making sure that she didn't come out of college with a bunch of student loan debt. So she's got a little bit there, but it's not crazy student loan debt. The other thing is, like most people coming out of college, she didn't have much income. Yeah, I mean, this is really going to be the first job that's going to provide her a substantial wage. Yeah, now, I don't know what she did when she was in college. We didn't get into that or anything. It was not in the email. I don't know if she worked in high school or anything. But I think we can all agree that this is going to be her first major job. No other way to describe it. She has gone through life so far being conditioned by people in the world as well as her parents. But keep in mind, people like her teachers and educators and all these people that were involved with her educational path up until now, have been influencing her as to what the path forward is. Now, this young lady is at least smart enough to reach out and say, what do you think? What do you think? And of course, my first answer is don't do the pension. Don't do the pension. Unless the pension is built in and you are locked in and you don't get a choice, don't do it. And apparently this pension that they offer out there is designed, it's a pension, but it kind of operates more like a 401k. It's really weird because it's got all these interesting nuances to it. I've been looking through all this documentation and it's weird. I've never seen a pension like this. So essentially what this pension does is they say they're going to calculate your retirement benefit based on three factors. Now, one factor is something called your years of service. Okay. And apparently you get one credit for each year of service that you do. And that's kind of important because there's a vesting thing that occurs in a future year. Yeah. Understand this. She's not vested in any type of pension, even though she's making contributions to that pension. She's not vested in that pension until she hits year five. So she's at risk. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to like spend her money or anything like that. But if she doesn't make it to year five and get vested in the pension, let's say she changes jobs and goes somewhere else, they'll give her money back, but there's no pension. There's no pension. That money would just transfer to whatever other entity she would go to, I guess. Or maybe she could just cash it out. I don't know how that stuff works. I think she should cash out. But remember, she's just getting started. She hasn't even started the job yet. She's looking for information. So let's give her that information. There's two other things they factor in. Something called a final average compensation amount. And then they look at something called a benefit factor. It's either a 2% benefit or a 2.5% benefit. Okay. And they use all this stuff to essentially determine how much money she will potentially make in future years. Unlike the pension that I had in the military, she has to contribute to this pension. If she doesn't contribute, in other words, she's going to get a salary and a portion of that salary has to be withheld and go to the pension. She has to make that determination. Now, when I was in the military, there was no determination, at least back in the day. If you were serving, your money was already set aside for you for your pension. They didn't take it out of your check, but this is the new version of pensions, right? The regular plan essentially says she has to contribute 8% of her salary. There's something called a Plan B plan, which only requires a 5% contribution, but those people that elect that are people that are also participating in Social Security. Yes. Did you just catch that? See, the regular plan people, the one she's being offered because she's not one of the employee types that qualify for the Plan B, she qualifies for the regular plan. And a component of this retirement plan is that she's not going to pay any money into Social Security, but she's also not going to draw Social Security. So by going with this plan, she's all in. She's either in or she's not in. And now think about it. If she gets to like 4.5 years and exits and goes somewhere else and doesn't qualify for the pension, keep in mind, she didn't pay anything into Social Security, okay, which I think is okay, to be honest with you. But what will Social Security think about that? Does she have to now go back and make up for that? Or, you know, the other thing is there's no money being contributed to Social Security, so there's no contribution that she'll be able to gain on the back end. Not that I think Social Security is the end-all, be-all for everything, because it's not. It really isn't. And there's not a lot of security in the Social Security system. That's Al's opinion. All right, so what I did was I said, okay, let's figure out how this thing works. Okay, now my brain was hurting me trying to read through all the plan information to understand how everything is all calculated. And you know what I did? I just said, you know what? I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to keep the math super, super simple. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to say this. I'm going to make an assumption that she earns a salary of $60,000 per year. Now, I don't know how much they offered her. I don't know if that number's high. I don't know if that number's low. I'm just going with a number that I think is appropriate. That's a number that I think is appropriate. Not that I know what teachers make in the state of Louisiana. I have no clue. I have no clue. Assuming, and now we've got to make some assumptions here, because if we don't make certain assumptions, then the math gets really crazy, because then I got to start calculating in cost of living increases and inflation and stuff, and I don't want to do that. I want to keep this as an example for you so that you understand the bigger picture. She's making, let's say she's offered $60,000 a year. Let's say she elects to contribute to that pension plan, that 8% contribution. That means every year she'll contribute $4,800 of her $60,000 salary. Yeah. So every year, $4,800 is going to come out. It's basically going to boil down to what? $400 a month, right? Okay. At the end of year one, she will have saved $4,800. Yeah. You noticed I used the word saved, because that's what she's doing. Now, there is a growth component to this thing. And I'm going to use the growth component most financial planners use. I'm going to say that she's making 8% on everything she saves every year. That's going to take me to a future value in 30 years. I'm going to go with a 30-year number. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what it is. Stick around.
Stop waiting. Stop sitting around. Stop procrastinating. This is your time. Make it happen. Do it now. When's the best time? Now. People go, well, I don't know. It's gonna crash. It's gonna be better next year. I've gotta listen to four more classes. I love guys come up to me and tell me, you know, I've been listening to you on the radio for 8 years now, right? I go, and you're not rich yet? Well, really, I'm thinking about joining next month. Do it now.
Learn the skills you need to retire with real estate in 5 years or less. Do it now. Register for the Lifestyles Unlimited free online workshop, lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right. So let's get back into these numbers. So let's talk about this young... Oh, you're just joining me? Oh, okay. So here's what I'm doing today. I'm doing an analysis for a listener that's getting ready to start a job in the state of Louisiana as a teacher. And as part of this, they've offered her this pension that I've never seen this kind of pension before, but apparently this is what they do in Louisiana. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying this is what they offer. And what I'm doing is I'm kind of breaking down what she can expect to earn if she does the pension route. Or if she chooses not to do the pension route and instead chooses to do the real estate investing route. So when we were getting ready to go to break, I was disclosing to you that we made some assumptions that she'll make $60,000 per year. And I'm just going to assume she always makes $60,000 per year. I realize people get cost of living increases. I realize that people can get promotions and advancements. Okay. But again, I'm keeping this super, super simple, super, super clean. She's elected to use the regular plan, meaning she's going to pay 8% of her annual salary to her pension plan. And that pension is going to invest the money. And I'm just going to assume the growth rate is about 8%. That's commensurate with probably what your financial planner told you you should be earning in the types of investments you might be in, like 401ks or IRAs or things like that. At the end of year one, she will have amassed a whopping $4,800. Now, I'm sure she made a little bit of money off of that, but again, I'm just going to assume no money is made until the end of the year because it keeps it all clean. When we get to the end of year two, she will have doubled her money, plus a little bit more. She'll actually have earned about $384 more, and that is in the form of what the investments have done for her at an 8% rate. Every year, over a 30-year career, she will contribute $4,800. Again, we're assuming she's not making raises, things like that, okay? And I'll when I get to the real estate side, and I explain why I'm doing what I'm doing over here on the pension side, it'll totally make sense. We get all the way down to year 30. At the end of year 30, she will have conservatively, this is a conservative number, about $309,000. $309,000 saved up in this massive bucket of money. She'll be about, 52 years of age? I'm assuming she's 22 now, so in 30 years, she'll be 52 years of age. She'll have $309,000 saved up. But here's the problem. Let's say she gets to year 30, she's age 52, and she decides, okay, that's it. I'm going to retire. And she's used to making $60,000 a year, right? I mean, she's used to that. So think about it. How long does that $60,000 last? How long? If you're drawing down $309,000, let's even go even easier. Let's say she only needs $42,000. Let's say because she's not working anymore, she's not paying all the taxes and the Social Security and the Medicare taxes. We can carve all that out. Why don't we just carve all that out for her? It'll actually help her bottom line a little bit more. So instead of her only being able to survive for 7.5 years, you heard me correctly, for 7.5 years, what you're going to find is that it's a little bit more, but it's not a whole lot more. It's really not a whole lot more. So at the age of 60, she runs out of money. She runs out of money. It's gone. It's gone. She consumed it all. So now what does she do? Oh, well, maybe she shouldn't have stopped working at the age of 52. Maybe if she continued to work for 8 more years, that number would have actually gotten bigger. And the short answer is, well, yeah, actually, that number will have gotten a little bit bigger. But we're talking about somebody who currently is in their early 20s. We are talking about them working until their early 50s. Oh, I've only calculated out to the early 50s, right? So the problem is she might run out of money. And as a result of that, she needs to reconsider and go back to work. So let's say she does that. Let's say she sticks it out and she works 8 more years. 8 more years. She gets to the age of 60. That's actually a better number. That gets her almost to $6 million. You heard me correctly. That gets her to almost $6 million. And that could last her, I don't know, potentially for 15 years. As long as she doesn't live past the age 75, this plan might work. Oh, wait a minute. What if women in her family live to the age of 90? Well, maybe she can't retire at the age of 60. Maybe she's got to go to the age of 65. Do you see where I'm going here? Do you see how the pension will eventually pay her somewhere in the future, but she has to keep working and working and working and working. And even when she thinks she can get to a place where she can retire, maybe there's not enough money and maybe she can't retire. Or if she does retire and tries to live off the pension, what happens when the pension runs out and now she has to go back to work and now she's an older person? This is a really bad plan. I believe this is a very bad plan. I think what she should do is not mess around with the pension. I think what she should do is go to work and do a great job educating young, impressionable minds, teaching them how to think, not what to think. Yeah, that's what I think educators are supposed to do. And in doing so, I think what she should do is take that 8% of her salary and set it aside. Put it in a savings account. I don't care where you put it. Put it aside. Because at the end of the first year of working, she'll have $4,800. Yeah, she's essentially going to put $400 aside every month. She's going to save it. At the end of year one, she'll have $4,800. Now, is that enough money for her to buy an asset, an investment asset? Well, it depends. It depends on market conditions. It depends on what's going on in the markets. I will tell you this very day in time, it is difficult to do a deal where your cash out of pocket is $5,000 or less. It's not impossible to do in today's market. They're just really, really scarce. Really, really scarce. Okay, she'll probably need some more money to get her first deal done. Not a problem. She goes to work for the second year. She sets aside another $4,800. At the end of year two, she'll have $9,600. I don't think she'll have enough money, cash out of pocket, to buy a house. I think she just needs to keep saving. So she's going to do that for year three too. She's going to save $400 a month. It's going to get carved aside. And now she'll have $14,400 at the end of year three. Now, in comparison, had she put that money into the pension, that pension would be up to $14,784. That's a $384 value that's more than the amount of money she saved. Okay, now I'm assuming she's making 0% interest in her savings account. I'm not even going to give her any credit. Now we're going to get to year four. At the end of year four, she will have put another $4,800 aside. And now she's got $19,200 to put to work. And she's going to buy that first house. When we come back from the break, I'll explain the rest of the story. Stick around.
Well, one thing it has meant for us, and we have to compliment you. You've given us our time back. And I say our time because we got married 33 years ago, and we got married in July. Do you know why? Well, that was before I met Lifestyles. I used to work for Ford Motor Company. And with Ford Motor Company, I was in the automotive division. They have shut down during July, the first 2 weeks of July.
So you had to wait for a shutdown to get married?
Yes.
He actually.
Whoa, that's dedication there.
He made me change our wedding date. It was supposed to be June 15th, and I changed.
Wow, that's amazing.
So if I had been in Lifestyle, I could have gotten married when I wanted to.
And the ring would have been bigger.
Thank you.
Ready to get your time back like Vivian and Cornell? Register for the free online workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right. So if you're just joining me, boy, if you missed a lot, you need to go to lifestylesunlimited.com, check out our radio tab, find the show, listen to the whole thing, because I can't recreate the last three segments. Well, I guess I could, but it would take too much time. So If you want to hear any of the stuff that we do from any of the Lifestyles Unlimited radio team, all of our shows are there. Dell's shows are there. Andy's shows are there. Mike's shows are there. David's shows are there. And my shows are there. There's a ton of information for you. Go check out lifestylesunlimited.com. As a matter of fact, while you're there, sign up for a free workshop so that we can teach you how to do all the stuff that we're talking about. All right, let's get back to this young lady. So before the break occurred, I mentioned that for the first 4 years of her working life, she needs to be saving $400 a month. So at the end of 4 years, she's going to have $19,200 available to her. I believe that is enough money, cash out of pocket, to do a real estate deal, especially in the current markets. Yeah, we can find deals like this. So she's going to buy this house. This house she's going to put back into service as rental real estate. She's going to find a great person to rent from her. This person is going to pay their rent every month. As a result of that, she's going to operate the property and she's going to make cash flow. Probably going to make about $400 a month in cash flow. All right. So we're at the end of year four. She has just bought her first house. She has spent, let's assume she spent everything she saved. Everything she saved went into that house. She's reset the bank account to zero, but she now has one house and that house is producing an income stream of $400 a month. So you know what I want her to do in year five? I want her to keep saving that $400. And that $400 that she's making off of that house, I want her to save that too. Because now what she's contributing to her investment fund is $800 a month. Yes, $800 a month. And as a result of that, she's going to be able to get to her next property probably by about year seven. She'll have enough money saved up to get her to a property in year seven. Now she'll have two houses producing $400 a month. When she gets to year nine, she gets that third asset. When she gets to year 11, she gets the fourth asset. And then every year after that, she has enough money coming in that she can buy at least one more asset every year. And I want her to do this. I want her to do this until she gets to 10 houses. 10 houses. Now, my numbers here are like super, super, super conservative. Super conservative. Here's what I get. At the end of year 17, she will have bought her 10th house. Keep in mind here, remember I told you on the pension side, I wasn't going to do anything as far as calculating, you know, rates of return, stuff like that. We want to keep it nice and simple. All right. On the real estate side, I'm keeping it even more simple because I'm only addressing cash flow. I'm not even addressing the fact that all of these houses over time will go up in value. They will appreciate. And because we've taught her how to buy these properties correctly, she's going to capture equity in these properties, meaning she's going to pay for them and repair them at wholesale pricing levels, yet she'll own them at retail pricing values. Yeah, and the difference in between is equity that she captures. That's wealth. And we haven't even talked about the fact that she could sell one house in the future, and with the proceeds off that one house, she could buy two more. The whole approach here is she buys a house by saving her money, and that's it. Yeah, no doubling down. When you get a property that goes up in value, you can't sell it. Nope, you just gotta retain everything. You can't increase rents or anything like that. See how simple this is? So even in my model, at year 17, she replaces her income. She totally replaces her income. See, and again, I'm assuming she never gets a raise, never gets cost of living increase. Okay, we're keeping the math simple. But at $60,000 of salary, she really only needs to replace $42,000 because 30% of that salary is going for taxes and it's going for Social Security and Medicare. Yeah, stuff's expensive. Takes a big chunk of your check. So what she's living off of is like really $42,000 because the other stuff's taxes. Oh, yeah. And there's 4,800 coming out of there too, right? So I don't even know how to calculate. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't matter, does it? Think about it. When she buys that 10th house, she'll have enough income coming in from those other nine houses that she's going to be fine. When that 10th house hits, she's real estate retired. My model says she does it 13 years faster. Oh, and by the way, why don't we just compare apples to apples, shall we? Let's just do that. At the end of year 17, when she gets that 10th house, and that 10th house is starting to pay her $400 a month in passive income, she's exceeded the $42,000 of income that she requires. She's never, ever, ever going to have to worry about a pension. She's not. As a matter of fact, when she buys these houses and she gets that first one, let's say it does take her a full 4 years to get to that first property, she'll already be farther ahead than she would be had she been contributing to the pension. Just on the income streams. Just on the income streams. Because at year four, she's going to have an income stream that's going to start at $4,800 a year. And we get that number based on the fact that most of our single family properties that we own as Lifestyles Unlimited members tend to return about $400 a month in passive income. Some properties return more, some properties return less, but the sweet spot is right at $400. So she's developed an income stream in her fourth year of working for a job that would have never been developed had she just contributed to a pension. And her time requirement is not crazy. It's doing this real estate thing. I hate the term side hustle, but it's kind of it is a side hustle. But I hate the term, but it's what it is. It doesn't take a lot of your time. And as an educator, I mean, she's going to devote a lot of her time to the classroom. That's appropriate. She's teaching young, impressionable minds. It's very important that she does a good job of that. But she can spend a couple extra hours a week doing her real estate stuff, and it isn't going to destroy her life. As a matter of fact, it's going to set her up for success. It's going to set her up for the ability to retire in her 30s. Yeah, based on the model that I ran here, if it takes her 17 years to do this stuff, and she's 22 years of age now, let's do the math. She'd be retired at the age of 39. She would not need to work anymore. But if she chose to work, she could. And if she loves teaching, she could keep on teaching and never have to worry about income streams anymore. As a matter of fact, she could transition out of those single family houses and she could move into multifamily apartment communities. It's not that hard to do that once you know how to do it. When you know how to do it, it's totally easy. But when you don't know how to do it, or when you think you've got to formulate the plan on how to do that, but you're not quite sure how to do it, yeah, that's the difficult stuff. But that's what Lifestyles Unlimited is all about. This is why this young lady reached out to me. I think she reached out to me because she wanted to get somebody's take on this. And I'm giving you my take. My take is this. You could be retired at the age of 39 doing it the slow way. If you do it the fast way, which is selling your assets as they hit certain strike prices and trading them in for others, she could probably get done before she turns 30. Wouldn't that be cool? Instead of working until she's 60, 65, she could be done at the age of 30. You could do it too. Go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshops.com.
Del Wamsley on how to live the lifestyle.
You can see a lot of people that are going through their savings rapidly, especially during the pandemic when there was no work going on. People that work for short periods of time had a lot of problems because there was no jobs for them. The second problem they experienced, though, was that they don't have savings accounts. because there's no savings plan set up. There's no 401k. There's no IRA. Again, you should have that on your own. Even without a 401k or IRA, you should have some type of investment plan. But the most important ones, I think, was the one before that, which is said people don't know how to invest. Even if you have a savings plan, and obviously if you put in a 401k and IRA, you really can't control it. But even if you do have an investment plan, you have to know how to invest your money to be able to do what we do here at Lifestyles, which is make a lot of money. Let's just put a cap on it. What do? We make a lot more money than the average person makes in their savings plans, with their savings plans. In other words, we take monies, just like everybody else does, that we've saved from some type of income producing situation, and we invest it.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.